from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Nitzavim, co-opting the future. Look, in Parshat Nitzavim, it's all about reestablishing the covenant. Moshe Rabbeinu and Kadosh Baruch Hu, Holy One, Blessed Be He, and Moses himself try to reestablish the covenant as the Jews enter the land of Israel. As Rabbi Soloveitchik explains, you know, it's one thing to have a covenant outside the land of Israel, but now to have a covenant of people in the land of Israel, it's a whole new idea. At the same time, it's that it builds on the previous covenant, obviously, of Avraham and of Moshe, and of Arvos Moav and of Har Sinai. But the problem is that it says that this covenant is Asher Yeshchem Imanu Po Imanu Omed Hayom. This covenant is with those who are standing here, right here with us right now, Moshe says. Ve'ed Asher Inenu Po Imanu Hayom. And also those who are not here. Those who are not here. How can you make a covenant with people who are not there? What authority do you have to make people who are not there accept your covenant? Well, the deal that you want to make, that's for you. But that the other generations, the next generation has to accept something from the previous generation, why should it be so? In fact, historically, this question was asked to the Abarbanel, the great Spanish exile. And they asked him, actually, in Aragon, when they were still in Aragon, was still in Spain, they asked him, I don't understand, how can you obligate someone in a covenant when he's not there? The question is further strengthened, says the Malbim, who lived in the 19th century. It's further strengthened by the notion that, mystically speaking, believe it or not, there's no connection between the soul of a father and the soul of a son. Soul of a mother, the soul of a son. Now, I know we don't like to believe that. We like to think that my soul is connected to my son. It could be, just like when I meet somebody on the street, it could be that my soul is connected to that person and we are soul buddies, you know. But sometimes you find that, you know, your son or your daughter, they're not necessarily just like you. Matter of fact, they have a completely different netiyah, different inclination, because their soul is different. Just because you're related doesn't mean you brought them into this world. You're their biological parent, doesn't mean that their soul is also a child of your soul. Souls are different. So in that case, it's even worse. Just because your soul accepted the covenant at Sinai, how does that obligate your child's soul? This child's soul wasn't there. It's not, you're not the father of your child's soul. The soul comes from its own source. So we have an even a bigger problem. So the first answer that the Malbim gives, this Meir Leibish, this Malbim, this great authority from the 19th century, he says, look, the answer that everybody knows, and that is, you know, like the famous expression, saw you at Sinai. All of our souls were at Sinai. We may not have been there physically, but our souls were there, so it's good enough. So, therefore, this is not a covenant with people who are not there. They're there, not in the physical sense, they're there in the spiritual sense. All of our souls are there. They were there for this covenant. We know that's true of Sinai. Apparently, it's true for this parsha, for the additional covenant as well. The covenant is with them as well. Or maybe the covenant at Sinai, the presence of the Jewish souls there, was good enough for the later covenant as well. Good. Then he gives another interesting theory. It goes like this. It's true. A person consists of a body and a soul. In terms of the soul, parent is not the father of the child's soul. It's nothing to do with it. God gives a soul. Every morning we affirm that God gave us a soul, not our parents. But the parents give the body. And since the human being is connected between the body and the soul, so since parents are connected through body to their children, therefore, by extension, they can bequeath a covenant from themselves to their children who are physically connected to them, although spiritually their souls may be from a different source, different place. But together, the body and the soul, there is a connection of a parent to a child, and therefore when a parent accepts a covenant, since they are the source of the child's body, in that sense they can accept this covenant for them, albeit not for the soul part, but at least for the body part, and therefore, in a sense, the parent can accept it for the child. Complicated answer. Third answer that Malvin gives is the potential. In everyone is the potential for the future generations. Now, we know this is true from a genetic point of view. The genes that I have in me will be in my children, and 100 generations from now, some genes will still be there. So in that sense, the potential for my great-great-grandchildren, God willing, is already found within me. So that, in that sense, one might argue that it's true, only the Jews were at Mount Sinai or here at the precipice of the land of Israel accepted this particular covenant. However, since potentially within every person, at least physically, is everyone who comes after them, therefore, the covenant could be accepted by those who were there at that particular time, and it could extend to those who live at a later time. The fourth answer is the notion that we use very much in Jewish law, and that is Zachen L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav. You know, if I decide I want to buy you a condo in Florida, well, you know, maybe it's not a good condo, maybe it's not a good investment. I can't just get you a condo in Florida. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not good. If I get you a stock in IBM or something, maybe it's a good stock, maybe it's not a good stock, maybe it'll go up, it'll go down. So therefore, you can't say that it's definitely good. So to do something on your behalf that you don't necessarily want, it's not necessarily good for you, this is questionable. If I buy you a dog, and maybe you don't like dogs, maybe the dog's going to get wild, he's going to make an accident in the living room. I mean, a dog is not necessarily a positive thing. It could be, not necessarily. Then I can't do it for you without your consent. However, if something is clearly good for you, one might argue, for instance, that maybe being Jewish is good for you. Having $1 million, it's always good for you, right? There may be some disadvantages of having too much, but basically having $1 million or having $1,000 or $10, it's good for you. It's nice to have more money. So therefore, if I decide I'm picking up this $1 million, I'm giving it to you, I'm buying this lottery ticket for you. So you say, hey, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be so rich. I'm happy the way I am. I don't want to pay so many taxes. Tough luck. It was basically a good thing for you. If I picked it up for you, you get it. And then there's some negative consequences, but basically it's a positive thing. Anything that's basically positive, you can, Zachen L'Adam Shelo B'Fanav, you can benefit for them without their knowledge. So since Torah is letov lach, Torah is good for you. There's nothing bad about having Torah. Torah is great for you. All right, it's true if you violate certain things, there are punishments, but come on, there's so many mitzvot, there's so many opportunities. We view Judaism as a gift. We don't say, well, you know, you might violate something and you'll be punished, so it's terrible. No. The gift of Torah is that there's so many things. If you just do a lot of great things, you get a mitzvah. It's wonderful. So therefore, it's great to be part of the Jewish people. It's just great. A fifth answer he gives is that, you know, everybody wants the land of Israel, right? Now, in order to get the land of Israel, you have to keep the covenant. So it's like, hey, your inheritance is you got a piece of the pie in the land of Israel. You know, today you have the law of return. Every Jew has a right to go back to the land of Israel. Great. But if you want that right, there's a covenant that comes with it. So the covenant is a good thing for you. And it's true. There are some difficult things you got to accept in the covenant to go with it. But that's how inheritance works. When you get the inheritance, you know, you got to pay the taxes. There are certain things that come with it. So, basically it's a good thing. And it's contingent, the inheritance that you have is contingent on this covenant. So everybody wants the inheritance. So you get the covenant as well. Finally, the sixth answer. Sixth answer is from the Ari. We started by saying that parents and children don't have a connection per se in their souls. And it's an important thing to realize that just because you're a parent doesn't mean you're the same as the child. You say, I don't understand. How can my child not like basketball, basket weaving, hanging out with the opposite gender, whatever the thing that you like to do. How could they not like that? After all, we're the same. He's from me. How could it be? The answer is that you don't have the same soul as your child. That's what we started out saying. However, there is another connection of souls, not because you're a parent, but because you're part of the Jewish people. The Jewish people have a connection to the Eitz HaChaim, the Ari, the great mystic. He says this, I don't know what it means, I don't understand it, but there's an idea that all souls, they come from the Eitz HaChaim, from the original soul of trees, tree of souls, and therefore we are connected. And since we are all Jews are connected through their souls, to the root of their soul, all came from the same tree. Therefore, if I accept the covenant, my soul is connected to my children's soul, my great-great-great-great-grandchildren's soul. Why? Because it comes from the same tree. So therefore, when we accepted the covenant, or when our ancestors accept the covenant, it's incumbent upon us as well. You know, this question of, you know, how can parents dare decide something for their children? It's actually, there are some people today who are great libertarians, and they say, you know, you can teach your children about your religion, but you can't impose it upon them. After all, children are free to do whatever they want. How dare you impose your Judaism, different things on the children? Really, these answers can be used a bit to answer that question. How do I have the right to give my child a bris, to demand that my child be part of the covenant? Well, firstly, he was at Sinai. The child was at Sinai, so they already accepted it. You know, I am connected body-wise. I am connected to my children. So if I accepted these things to be a Jewish person, it's incumbent upon them. Number three, it's good. It's good for the kids. Why is it incumbent upon the kids? Because it's good. We believe that Judaism is a good thing. It's a great gift to have this tradition, this lifestyle, this meaning, some meat in your life, something to hold on to, something, a belief, a connection, a special connection with God. So it's a great thing. So how can I do this to my children? Because it's a great thing. Who could argue? Giving them an inheritance is always a good thing. Morasha Achila Yaakov. The Torah is an inheritance. And finally, how can I do this to my children? What do you mean? My children are connected to me through the soul of Israel. They have a Jewish soul. And as such, all souls are connected. And whether they were at Sinai or they're simply connected, what happened in the previous generation is incumbent upon the children. So that's our response to those who would say, how can you force the religion on your children? It's not forced. It's already the Jews, every Jew already accepted at Mount Sinai. We're just reaffirming, we're just letting the kids know what's in their soul already from generations that already went by. Thank you for joining us here at the Andrei Sefer Beth Elometh Congregation for our discussion of the Parsha on the holidays. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer, and we wish everyone Ktiva v'chatima tova. Everyone should be sealed and written in the Book of Life. Good things, health and happiness for one and all the students, all those who watch our videos, those who don't watch the videos, and those whose souls are connected to ours. Wish all of you, Shana Tova, a great year.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.